Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Okay, reading from Srimad Bhagavatam. Lord Krishna shows the universal form. Text 13. Asan, Varnas, Tvayo, Trayo, He, Asya, Grinato, Nuyugam. Excuse me. Yeah. Tanuhu, Shuklo, Raktas, Tata, Pita, Idanim, Krishnatam, Gataha, Asan Varnasrayo Hyasya, Grinato nu yugam tanuhu. Shuklo raktastata pita. Idanim krishnatam gataha. Asan varnasrayo nihasya. Grinato nu yugam tanuhu. Shuklo raktastata pita. Idanim krishnatam gataha. Asan varnasrayosya asya. Grinato nu yugam tanuhu. Shuklo raktastata pita. Idanim krishnatam gataha. Asam varnasrayo yasya. Inato nu yugam tanuhu. Shuklo raktas tata pita. Idanim krishnatam gataha. Asan varnasrayo yasya. Grinato nu yugam tanuhu. Shuklo ratastata pita. Idanim krishnatam gataha. Asan varnasrayo yasya. Grinato nuguyam tanuhu. Shuklo raktas tata pita. Idaniam Krishna Tam Gataha. Matajis. Asan Varnastrayo Nyasya. Krinato Nuguyam Tanuhu. Shuklo Raktas Tatapita. Idaniam Krishna Tam Gataha. Asan Varnastrayo Yasya. Krinato Nuguyam Tanuhu. Shuklo Raktas Tatapita. Idaniam Krishna Tam Gataha. Asan. We're assumed. Varnaha. Traya. Three colors. He. Indeed. Asya. Of your son Krishna. Grinataha. Accepting. Anuyugam Tanuhu. Transcendental bodies. According to the different yugas. Shuklaha. Sometimes white. Raktaha. Sometimes red. Tata. As well as. Pitaha. Sometimes yellow. Idaniam Krishna Tam Gataha. At the present moment, he has assumed a blackish color. Translation purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Your son Krishna appears as an incarnation in every millennium. In the past, he assumed three different colors, white, red, and yellow, and now he has appeared in a blackish color. In another Dwapara Yuga, he appeared as Lord Ramachandra in the color of Shuka, a parrot. All such incarnations have now assembled in Krishna. Please repeat. Your Krishna appears as an incarnation in every millennium. In the past, he assumed three different colors. White, red and yellow, and now he has appeared in a blackish color. In another Dwapara Yuga, he appeared as Lord Ramachandra in the color of a sukha, a parrot. All such incarnations have now assembled in Krishna. Purport. Partially explaining the position of Lord Krishna and partially covering the facts, Gargamuni indicated, quote, your son is a great personality and he can change the color of his body in different ages, end of quote. The word grinataha indicates that Krishna is free to make his choice. In other words, he is the supreme personality of Godhead and may therefore do whatever he desires. In Vedic literature, the different colors assumed by the personality of Godhead in different millenniums are stated. And therefore, when Gargamuni said, quote, your son has assumed three colors, end of quote, he indirectly said, quote, he is the supreme personality of Godhead, end of quote. Because of Kamsa's atrocities, Gargamuni tried to avoid disclosing this fact, but he indirectly informed Nanda Maharaj that Krishna, his son, was the supreme personality of Godhead. It may be noted that Srila Jiva Goswami, in his book Krama Sandarbha, has enunciated the purport of this verse. In every millennium, Krishna appears in a different form, either as white, red, or yellow. But this time, he personally appeared in his original blackish form, and as predicted by Gargamuni, exhibited the power of Narayana. Because in this form the Supreme Personality of Godhead exhibits himself fully, his name is Sri Krishna, the all-attractive. Factually, Krishna is the source of all avatars, and therefore all the different features of the different avatars are present in Krishna. When Krishna incarnates, all the features of other incarnations are already present within him. Other incarnations are partial representations of Krishna, who is the full-fledged incarnation of the Supreme Being. It is to be understood that the Supreme Being, whether appearing as Shukla, Rakta, or Pitta, white, red, or yellow, is the same person. When he appears in different incarnations, he appears in different colors, just like the sunshine, which contains seven colors. Sometimes the colors of sunshine are represented separately. Otherwise, the sunshine is observed mainly as bright light. The different avatars, such as the Manvantara avatars, the Leela avatars, and the Dasa avatars, are all included in the Krishna avatar. When Krishna appears, all the avatars appear with him, as described in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.3.26, Avatara hiya sakshankyakya hare sattva nidir dvijaha yata vidda sina kulya sarasa siu sahasra saha. The avatars incessantly appear, like incessantly flowing water. No one can count how many waves there are in flowing water. And similarly, there is no limitation of the avatars. And Krishna is the full representation of all avatars because he is the source of all avatars. Krishna is Amsi, whereas others are Amsa, part of Krishna. All living entities, including us, are Amsas. Mamayvamso jivaloke jivabhuta sanatanaha. These Amsas are of different magnitude. Human beings who are minute Amsas and the demigods, Vishnu Tattva, and all other living beings are all part of the Supreme. Nityo Nityanam Chaitanas Chaitananam, Katha Upanishad 2.2.13. Krishna is the full representation of all living entities, and when Krishna is present, all avatars are included in him. The 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam describes the incarnations for each yuga in chronological order. The Bhagavatam says, Krite Shuklas Chatur Bahu Treta Yam Shak Rakta Varno Shau Dvapare Bhagavan Shama and Krishna Varnam Tvisa Krishnam. We actually see that in Kali Yuga, Bhagavan has appeared in Pitta Varna, or a yellow color, as Gaurasundar, although the Bhagavatam speaks of Krishna Varnam. To adjust all these statements, one should understand that although in some yugas some of the colors are prominent, in every yuga, whenever Krishna appears, all the colors are present. Krishna Varnam Tvisa Krishnam. Although Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears without Krishna or a blackish color, he is understood to be Krishna himself. Idanim Krishna Tam Gataha. The same original Krishna who appears in different varnas has now appeared. The word asan indicates that he is always present. Whenever the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears in his full feature, he is understood to be Krishna Varnam, although he appears in different colors. Prahlad Maharaj states that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Channa, that is, although he is Krishna, he is covered by a yellow color. Thus, the Gaudiya Vaishnavas accept the conclusions that although Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in Pitta color, he is Krishna. Krishna Varnam Trisa Krishnam Sangopangastra Parsadam Yagnai Sankirtam Pranayar Yajantihi Sumedha Saha. Om Agyanati Mirandasha Gananjana Shlaka Chakshu Umanitam Jaina Tasmaya Sri Guru Venamaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhunichananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasri Gora Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, of course, this purport is full of transcendental information on the potency of the Supreme Lord. And Srila Prabhupada very nicely describes to us that Krishna is in full, all the avatars are within Krishna at all times. And so Krishna, he's independent. He can make any kind of decision he likes, and he can make any kind of form that he chooses. And Prabhupada very lucidly describes that in this particular purport. He speaks about avatars. It's described that there are six different avatars. There's the Purusha avatars with the Vishnu, Shri Dakshay Vishnu, Karana Dakshay Vishnu. So these are Vishnu avatars. And then there's the Purusha avatars. Those were the Purusha avatars. And then there's the Leela avatars, or the pastimes of Krishna, which we're going to be reading in the 10th canto here. The Leela avatars of Lord Krishna. And then after Leela avatars, there's the Guna avatars, Manvantar. Yeah, the Manvantar avatars. And then there's the Guna, right? Yeah, Guna avatars, the modes of nature. And then there's the Shaktivesha avatar, the empowered living entities, like Prithu Maharaj in the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Dhruva Maharaj. These are empowered, the Shaktivesha avatars. So there's so many avatars, but specifically there's six different types. And as Prabhupada says, they're incessantly flowing like water. No one can count how many waves there are in a flowing water. So there is no limitation for the amount of avatars. So the purpose of the avatars are there to guide the living entity. So Krishna, he descends from the spiritual world as he is in this self-same body. It's not that he's covered over by material energy in any shape or form. He comes within as his own form, although he may change his color, as we're seeing here. And, of course, the purpose of Krishna coming is to specifically perform some activity in his particular avatars. He does some activity. He has a mission. He carries out some particular plan or strategy. So Krishna doesn't come haphazardly. He comes specifically for a purpose. And that purpose is described in the Bhagavad Gita. Yada yada hi dharmasya klanya bhavati bharata. Abhyutanam adharmasya tadatmanam srijamyaham. That whenever or wherever there's a decline of religious principles, son of Bharata or the descendant of Bharata, or a predominant rise in irreligion, at that time I descend myself. So this is a strategy. It's a plan. It's not haphazard. It's not like Krishna's forced. He comes specifically on his own accord, as he wishes and however he likes. It's very difficult for non-devotees to believe that Krishna will come as a tortoise, a huge tortoise for a particular pastime, or Varaha, Lord Boar. For many people that are non-devotees, this is almost inconceivable in exactly what it is. It's inconceivable. Only by the association of a pure devotee can one understand these transcendental, mystical activities of the Lord. Only by that association. Yes, before we were devotees, if somebody would have told you that God can appear as a boar, a pig, I mean, that would be inconceivable. People could not understand that, because they don't understand the pastimes of the Lord. They don't understand why Krishna would come in that particular form, because they are very impersonal. They don't see Krishna or God as a person. They see him as some individual, but they don't know anything about him, what he's doing. For instance, in Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada taught us that we know about Krishna. We know his address, his Goloka. We know what he looks like. So we know, you know, his address. We know what he looks like. We know who his mother and father are. You know, we know what he likes to do. We definitely know what he likes to eat. So we do have all that information. Now, if you ask an ordinary individual, do you know God's address? They would think you're just like, what are you, just some crazy person? Or we ask him, do you know what to eat, what he likes to eat? And they'll say, nobody knows what God likes to eat. So then they don't really know God. You know, like if a husband and wife are together, the husband knows what the wife likes to eat, and the wife knows what the husband likes to eat. That's like very simple. but they have no conception or idea about what God likes to eat, because they don't know anything about Krishna or God. So how can they really understand Lord Boar? Impossible. So, but Krishna comes anyway, regardless. And he comes specifically to show us the way. He points the direction for us to come. And that's to him, of course. And that can only be understood by a guide. And that is the spiritual master. Only the spiritual master. He's that sincere, pure devotee, sold out, living entity. And in many cases, it is a Shaktivesh avatar. And that particular personality is empowered to show the way to the conditioned souls. It's not an accident. They're purposefully there for that reason, to guide us. This is like if you want to go to India, you know, you can go on your own and just kind of go different places and this and that. But wouldn't it be a lot easier to go to India with a guide, a person that can show you all the holy places and make it very easy? You know, take this path. No, don't go that way. No, don't go up there at a certain time. You know, go here, go there. Come with me, I'll show you. So a guide makes things a lot easier because that guide knows. So this is why it's so important for us to try to see Krishna not through our speculation or through our, you know, desire of what we want God to be, but we have to accept learning about Krishna through the pure devotee of the Lord, such as Srila Prabhupada. And in many instances, we would even say that Srila Prabhupada is a Shaktivesh avatar. Because how could all this go on? How could all this wonderful process of Krishna consciousness go on so amazingly? At one particular time in the 70s, people were concerned about the Krishna consciousness movement. It was spreading like wildfire. And one politician even said they could take over the world or take over America if we're not careful and stop them now. So this is the potency of taking guidance from the pure devotee of the Lord and executing that service. And by executing it, we can understand the purpose of Krishna and why he came here. And this shouldn't be a confusion, what color he comes, what form he takes. You know, Krishna can do anything he wants. But he tells us in Bhagavad Gita why, as we just mentioned, why he wants to come. And, of course, there's another aspect of it. Paritaranaya sadhunam vinasya chaduskritam dharma samstapanantaya sambhavami yuge yuge. Krishna states that in order to deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants. So Krishna has a lot of fun in his incarnations in the material world. He comes to save the pious, those that are sincere and want to be a devotee. So he comes to enliven us, to encourage us. And then, of course, he comes to annihilate the miscreants. And those are, of course, the demoniac individuals in the material world, the atheists. And he also comes to reestablish the religious principles. And then, by doing that, he advances himself in every millennium after millennium. So he comes at a certain regulated time. And again, it's not an accident. He comes for that purpose. So we see that the miscreants, those that are foolish individuals, that are atheists, they have no conception, but still they're thinking that they're going to denounce or challenge the existence or the power of the Supreme Lord. So Krishna actually has to come to get rid of them. And there's great demons, Hiranyakashipu, and then there's Ravana, another great demon. And Krishna had to come because those demons were real demons. Today, Krishna doesn't have to appear in that form because just let a hurricane take care of it. It can kill, you know, a million people in a hurricane. Or a tsunami, kill 500,000 people with a tsunami. So Krishna doesn't have to come to eradicate the world of these miscreants. He just lets the material energy do its work for him. But many years back, he had to come because these demons were incredibly powerful. Hiranyakashipu was so powerful that he could stop the air, the movement of air on this planet by his austerity. No one could breathe All the demigods were just completely just in distress. They're in severe anxiety. Do something, Krishna. Please come and get rid of this character. He's beyond our perception and he's too powerful. So, Krishna comes when he wants to, and he gives us a purpose to live, to go on, to come to him. And by the association of this pure devotee of the Lord, we learn the importance of understanding Krishna's pastimes. Because if we do, if we actually understand the importance of his pastimes, one will never come back again to this material world. That's what's really very, very important. That's why we sit here and we read the Srimad Bhagavatam. That's why we so much stress the hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam. Because if you hear and you read the Bhagavatam, then you'll understand why Krishna comes. And if you do, then our liberation is guaranteed. What's that verse? Janma karma chame divyam evam yo veti tatvataha. What is it? Taktvadiham punar. Yes. So one who knows the nature of Krishna's appearance and his activities, if we just know that nature, if we try to really absorb ourselves and understand it, why Krishna came, why he performed the activities, then it's guaranteed to us that one will never take birth again in this material world, but will attain the supreme abode, Goloka Vrindavan. That's what's in store if we just give a little bit of dedication of our time to understanding Krishna and serving him by this process of bhakti yoga or devotional service. In this particular verse, Prabhupada also speaks a little bit about Lord Chaitanya and what Lord Chaitanya has brought us. We know that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he inaugurated the chanting of the holy name. So it's described that whatever was accomplished in the previous yugas by deity worship, by meditation, by huge yajnas, fire sacrifices, all the accomplishments that was acquired in such a yuga, Treta Yuga, Dvapara Yuga, we can accomplish all those same things in this age of Kali Yuga by the chanting of the holy name. Goloka Premadana Harinama Sankirtan. Krishna's name comes directly from the spiritual world. If we chant that holy name, we're associating directly with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this was the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This was his grace. He made becoming a devotee and becoming liberated from this material world very easy. All we have to do is chant the holy name of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This is all that's required of us. Following a few principles, chanting Hare Krishna, taking prasadam, just getting up in the morning, seeing the deities, doing a little bit of service. That's all we have to do, and one can become liberated and never have to come back to this material world again. And this is guaranteed by Krishna himself. We don't have to make it complicated. We don't have to just be so absorbed in knowing every aspect of this science of Krishna consciousness. If it's possible, yes. But the main issue is to chant the holy name. As we heard in a lecture the other day, it was on Sunday, by Srila Prabhupada, that Prabhupada said that one doesn't have to be expert in knowledge of the Shastras, but one has to develop good character. I thought that was pretty amazing. This thing that Prabhupada said about character. So what develops character? Character is developed in Krishna consciousness by following the principles, the four regulative principles. That develops character. Chanting Hare Krishna develops character. One can become saintly. One becomes a sadhu. That's character. Brahminical. That's character. Vaishnav. Character. So a lot of the things that we do in Krishna consciousness are meant to develop character. That's most important. Cleanliness. That's character. Punctual. That's character. Those things are essential. That characteristic is so important in terms of executing devotional service. Honest, straightforward, not duplicitous. This is character. So how do we develop that character? And that is following the principles and chanting Hare Krishna, coming very early to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That develops character. It means that one is sacrificing. And character is accomplished by sacrifice, by austerity. Otherwise, you can't develop character. If one is actually just nonchalant, easygoing, free-loving bird, it doesn't fit. That kind of character doesn't fit in the science of Krishna consciousness. What fits is austerity, sacrifice, humility. This is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's considering himself lower than the straw in the street. When I was a new devotee, I used to wonder, well, what straw in the street? What does that mean? When you have to go to India, you'll see straw in the street. Sometimes they would throw a straw over water or cow dung. You know, if there's cow dung, you put straw on it and cover it up. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu considers himself lower than the straw in the street. Now, that's humility. And this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he's giving us this information to give us an idea how to become empowered to preach this Krishna consciousness movement. And that is the most important thing. So although we hear about all these avatars and what Krishna is doing, those things are very beautiful and very nice. It helps us understand why Krishna would come in a particular form. But really, all these issues that we're discussing on a practical level in our everyday life in Krishna consciousness, it's mostly concerned with development of this character, of who we are. And by that character, one can be liberated. This is the point. And that is why we want to hear about these things, about Krishna and what he's doing. And we develop a lot of pleasure of hearing Krishna's pastimes of in his babyhood. I mean, it's pretty incredible. It's phenomenal to hear these stories in his childhood pastimes of Lord Krishna. And when he kills the Dhanakasura demon, Agasura demon, Trinavarta demon, Putana, all these things develop a lot of satisfaction in the hearts of a devotee. But not only that, but Krishna himself is happy. He likes doing it. And it's just like, I think Srila Prabhupada wrote, or I heard, that when Krishna would come and, you know, kill like the Agasura demon, all the cowherd boys would come together and they would yell out, "Bravo, bravo, Jai, bravo Krishna, good job." They were ecstatic. And then Krishna was happy. He would stand up and he'd take it. "Yes, thank you." And so that was a pastime. It's beautiful. It's personal. Krishna, the Supreme Lord, he's God, he's person though. And he's willing to associate with those individuals who become liberated souls. When we become a liberated soul, then you'll see Krishna everywhere you go. So this is what I kind of surmised out of this particular huge, intense and beautiful purport by Srila Prabhupada. All right, so we're out of time. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. I was going to read really something nice out of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the literary incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but no time. Zai.
Well, if you have a moment at some point, you want to share that with me? Tell me where it is.
Yeah, it's in Srimad Bhagavatam here.
You want to show me where that is, and I'll take a picture and then I'll read that.
Yes, right here. The Srimad Bhagavatam is a literary incarnation of God. And it is compiled by Srila Vasudeva Nirmala. It is meant for the ultimate good of all people. And it is all successful, all blissful, and all perfect.